Greeting you and saying how glad I am to say hello to you and to say a few words of introduction to this tape. This is a service for Mother's Day of May the 13th, 1979. And we're glad we can come and share this brief time with you. We know something of the meaning of motherhood. We know something of the memories, probably in all of our cases, of the ones who gave us birth, who nurtured us, who influenced us, and who, in spite of human failure, was able to mediate to us something of the love and the grace and the goodness, the beauty of God. And so even though, as we think of mother, perhaps our hearts are tinged with a little sadness, but nevertheless, there's great joy because of that wonderful woman who was the most important person in our lives, bar none. So we give thanks and we rejoice. And as you live the hours and the days that God has given you, it's my prayer, indeed it's a prayer of our congregation, of which you're a very important part, that your days will be full and your life will be rich. May God bless you. Now it's time for our boys and girls, and I'd like to invite them. Shall we have the mothers sing again one of these days? I'm asking everybody, not just the kids. Well, where'd you all come from? Well, we know, don't we? Are you trying to make it, Joe? There you go. There, you can just sit right out there. Oh. Oh. You're stuck. I'm probably stuck down here too. This is Mother's Day, isn't it? No, you know what we did last year on Mother's Day? I asked you what you'd done for your mothers today and what you gave them for Mother's Day, and I'm not going to do that this year. But I'm sure that you have done something nice for your mother, or will today. But we adults sometimes talk about and use rather big words. It's not very long, but sometimes we don't know exactly everything it means. We talked about, Mrs. Lyle said something about honoring our mothers, and we say it lots. And just what does it mean to honor your mother? On the front of the script, front of the bulletin, it says, "Honor thy mother." Those who got here early enough to get the real bulletins. And do you know where those words, "honor thy mother," on the front of the bulletin come from? Could you guess? Anybody know? You know?
Yeah. Where?
The Ten Commandments.
The Ten Commandments, that's right. That's one of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. But we're thinking about mother this morning. Okay, now let me ask you another question. How is it that we honor our mothers? Anybody got any idea? One way to honor mothers? Well, you haven't been honoring your mother if you don't know how to do it.
Give her something.
What?
Give her something.
Give her something. A black eye?
Yeah.
Help her clean the house.
Hey, that's great. We'll mark that down, Cheryl.
Tell people about her. Pardon? Tell people about her.
That's good. Do anything else? You're not being...
There you go. You got something?
Be nice to her.
Be nice to her? Sure. That's a good way, isn't it? How about obeying her?
No.
Would that be, no, would that be a way of honoring her? Uh-huh. How about when she does something nice, or just because you love her, say, thank you. How about that? That's one way to honor. Maybe. Okay. Well, we've thought of several ways already that we can honor a mother. So this word honor, which is short in spelling, which is a little puzzling to us, really isn't very puzzling at all. We obey them. We thank them. We do nice things for them. We tell them we love them. And things like that. So, if you haven't honored your mother today, you go to her right now and honor her, and honor her this afternoon in some way, will you? Thank you for coming this morning.
You guys can sit up here.
Eternal God, you are both father and mother of the human family, creator of the far-flung universe. We now bring ourselves to you in the posture of prayer with the recognition that we can approach you in your holiness only because in your love you have bid us come to you. May the ears of our spirits be open today lest we miss your voice. We in faith expect you to hear us. May we know that you have a right to expect that we shall hear you too. Today, O God, we with emotion-laden hearts bring to you our prayers of thanksgiving for blessing us with mothers and for the delightful plan that you should purpose that each of us be so blessed. O Lord, you yourself saw fit when you visited this planet to have a human mother. So we praise you for our mothers, some of whom live only in fond and loving memory. And yet, having with a rekindling power for our spirits, which is second only to the power to touch us with thy spirit. May we respond in love to those aspirations which our mothers had or have for us. And may we labor unceasingly to fulfill the ideals which they, at least in their better moments, stand for. So we pray for all mothers today, for they are set in the midst of a world which has many fears, many dangers. Endow them with special instincts, with unusual courage, rare wisdom, uncommon strength, and unlimited love as they assume the wonder, the joy, the difficulty, and the satisfaction of being mothers in the world today. Will you accompany those and especially guide those who, as they seek to risk the union of family and of career? Let sentimentality in our lives be replaced with love. Let our symbols of esteem become acts of devotion. Let our easy slogans become purposeful guides to the abundant life. In all things, may we hold high the banner of mother-child relationship as one, if not the most wonderful of God's creations. Hear now our intercessions, O God of compassion and mercy. We pray for the rich and for the poor, that their desire of material things will not warp their love of the spiritual. We pray for the ill and for the well, that they may in faith depend on you for health and its improvement. We pray for those who rejoice and for those who are sad. We pray for those who have won victories and for those who are struggling. And we pray for those who have great hope and for those who have no hope. And we pray for those that we remember in this silent moment of prayer.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I thought for a long time about why the sky was blue, and I really couldn't come up with an answer, so I changed. Since I couldn't answer that, we're going to speak on a related, the themes would be the same, you'd never know it from the titles, but something about the idea that there's a great glory to mother. Mothers have a glory. I want to tell a story which seems quite unrelated to that. It comes to us from several generations ago. It's about a man who frequently traveled by the riverboats on the Mississippi. And usually as he traveled, he avoided the entrance to the engine room because of the heavy and the foul odor which came from the room, because of the burning oil which had splashed onto the engine, and because water seeped into that area, became stagnant. Every time he'd get near that entrance, he'd get sick. But one week, as he was taking his trip, he couldn't avoid going by the engine room door, but he noted a great difference. And lounging at the entrance of the engine room was a short and stocky man with a very happy face and bright eyes. He was holding a Bible and seemed to be reading some of its passages. But no foul odor emanated from the engine room. The engine itself had been polished. There wasn't a speck of oil on it. The bilge water had been pumped out, and the inside had been scrubbed clean. The difference was so marked that the traveler could not help but say something to the man, and all the man would say is, as his face lit up, was this: I have a glory. That might seem a strange use of a noble word, yet in a cleaning engine room, the man had found his glory. Perhaps he found part of it from being acquainted with the scriptures as well. Now this is Mother's Day on the church calendar, and while we don't want to indulge in sentimentality, or I think neither mothers nor children want to do that, there is, however, a certain sentiment that cannot, should not be suppressed, for mothers have a glory, a marvelous and a wondrous glory. And the glory of motherhood is reflected in many ways and in many places. It's reflected in a myriad of dreams, thousands of experiences. It's mirrored in personal relationships, the depths which can be known only to the participants in those relationships and experiences. Perhaps, however, the glory is reflected in the three words which Paul uses in the immortal chapter on love: faith, hope, and love. Mothers do have a glory which is reflected in faith, their faith in God. And I suppose, maybe more practically, faith in their children. A good mother lives a life of faith. Now the stories are many and varied about the influence of a mother's unshakable faith in God. Perhaps one of the most remarkable of those stories is about Monica, the mother of St. Augustine. While Augustine was a young man, he pursued his wasteful ways, but she continued her faith in God, that God would work in young Augustine's life. And through her prayers, her steadfastness, her patience, it came about that Augustine turned around in his life and became the most noted of the first and second generation of Christian thinkers. Now, even though children are much more insightful than we sometimes imagine, a wise mother will not try to hide her faith from her children. She's going to practice it visibly, not parading it piously like the Pharisees, but in quiet and demonstrative ways, such as not talking about other people, not gossiping, by church attendance, by having prayers with the children, even when you have a stubborn father who won't participate, by Bible reading with the children, by the practice of Christian character in all of your relationships. And how important it is to a child for a mother to have faith in him as well as in God. Now, we've all seen children that were so doted upon, so spoiled, that they did not have any security. They had no confidence of their own. They were afraid of their own shadows. Now, it's tough and hard to have faith in your children, because it means that we're going to risk in the decisions he makes. It means that we're going to trust him to succeed. It means that we're going to give him the opportunity of failure and to make mistakes. It's a hard thing to do, but many mothers seek to do it and do it quite admirably. Now think for a moment. How important was your mother's faith in you at some time or another? Now granted, some of you have, with God's grace and help, come through without the blessing of a mother who openly honored God. Think about, however, a time in your life when you did, your mother did the great honor of trusting you and having enough faith in you to let you go ahead, to strike out on your own and to strike out on your own. Now, you who are mothers now know how much faith and courage that took for your mother to do that for you. Pray God that you shall have that kind of faith to do it for your children. Mothers have a glory, and one of the special glories they have is their faith in God and in their children. So let us today thank God for mother's faith. Now, another special glory of mothers is their hope. And what wonderfully big hopes most mothers have for their children. Every family that has children under 7 or 8 years of old, every one of those families has a future president in it, or a future business tycoon, or a future famous person. And that's great. The residue and the source of hope in a family resides nearly always with the mother. Not with the father, but with the mother. Given a woman's particular sensitiveness, the hopes usually center around ideals, and it is this attention to ideal that lifts us to higher levels of conduct and character. And sometimes a frustrated mother will cloak her hope in self-defeating nagging of her children and riding of her children. But even that nagging and being on the child too much is a manifestation of a great hope which she has for her offspring. Through such hope, things are greatly enriched and the deadly ordinariness of life is changed because aspiration and inspiration then become part of those lives. A mother's hope can change the whole of a family's life. On the banks of the James River is a tombstone erected by a husband in memory of his wife. His wife was one of the maidens who came to Virginia in 1619 to marry a lonely settler. And the stone bears this tribute. She touched the soil of Virginia with her little foot, and the wilderness became a home. That is something of the transforming power of a mother's hope. Now think for a moment. Think back. Can you think of a time in your life when your mother's hope for you led you, lifted you, influenced you? Can you think now, if you're a mother, of a continuing hope which you have for one of your or all of your children? Well, mothers have a great glory, and part of that glory is unshakable hope. So let us thank God for mother's hope. Another special glory of mothers is their love. Now, it's not possible, even for a father, to fully comprehend the love which a mother has for her child. That's not to suggest that fathers can't and don't deeply love their children. Even though Jesus compared God's love to a father's love, I am very certain that if he were teaching us in person in this day, that the figures he would be using would be that God is like a mother. And those figures would be God concerning mother's love. I think there's no question about that, given the rise, the advance, even though there's still far to go, of the equality of womanhood in our time. And that's all traced back to one person called Jesus of Nazareth. It is important to understand the nature of mother's love, and of love in a broader sense. Love is not overindulging. And I suppose that if mothers and fathers have one cardinal sin today, it's to overindulge their children. That is a common substitute for love. It's more common than leaving the children to shift for themselves, to overindulge. Love does not try to smother. And it's a wise mother who is able to distinguish between her own emotional needs and the relationship which she develops with her children. It's true, all too sadly, that sometimes a mother needs her children, emotionally speaking, far more than her children need her. The love of children, child also makes sure that it includes freedom for the child to become truly himself, to let him run risks, to let him experience what it means to be responsible. You do not love a child if he grows up to be responsible only to you and emotionally dependent on you, so much so that he can't make a decision for himself. We mentioned Monica. Can you imagine how much love it took to patiently wait for years for Augustine to sow his wild oats? And can you imagine how many times Monica's heart must have broken and been shattered over Augustine's waywardness? Yet she, like the father and the prodigal son, persisted and kept right on loving. How distressing it is to see good Christian families and mothers petulantly seek to repay or punish an offspring whose ways do not correspond in every detail to the parents' customs and ideas, and even, yes, morals. Families are sometimes torn asunder because a grown member of the family is snubbed and punished because he or she decides to live his own life for a time. Can you imagine the prodigal son's father saying, "Son, get your act cleaned up, and I'll take you back"? That's not the way it was. Can you imagine God saying to us in our waywardness, "Clean up your act, and I'll take you back"? No, God's love and forgiveness is there, just because God is God. And it ought to be there just because mother is mother. How vulnerable mother's love is. How open to pain it is. So much lurking around to waylay and entice our children. But love is, by its very nature, open and vulnerable. And every time you love someone, you're opening the gates to hurt, to disappointment, and to a lot of pain. Yet love abides as the greatest of all virtues. Now think for a moment. Think of the times when your mother loved you, even when you know darn well you didn't deserve to be loved. If you're honest, I'll bet you can think of several occasions. Quite a few, probably. If you're a mother, think of the pain and of the joy of loving one of your children when it was tough to. And you really didn't know how it was going to come out in the end. Well, mothers have a glory. And maybe, probably, surely, the greatest glory they have is in their love. Mothers have a glory, the glory of faith, the glory of hope, the glory of love. We close with this poem written by Margaret Sangster. She writes, "Sometimes I think God grew tired of making thunder and mountains and dawn readily breaking, weary of fashioning gorges and seas. Sometimes I think God grew tired of heating the earth with the sun and of fully completing the whole of the world. God grew tired, and so he took just a bit of the soft afterglow. He took just a petal or two from a flower. He took a songbird from the sweet-scented bower, and dewdrops he took from the heart of the rose, and added the freshness of each breeze that blows across long green meadows. He took all the love left over from his heaven above. His kind fingers mixed them, God's hand and no other, and made for the first time the soul of a mother." Let us pray. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, we give you praise for the marvelous plan that you had for we who are your children, that we should be born and brought to life through mother, a mother. We pray that this day will give us an opportunity to rethink her love, about her love for us and our love for her. We know that each of our relationships are deeply personal, yet there's a common strand running through all of them. And that's part of your plan. We thank you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.